Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my wonderful wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Please join me as we pray together for God's blessing on tonight's program. El Shaddai, our God Almighty, may our praises of you be continually in our mouth. We will not fear the enemy, because you are with us to strengthen us and uphold us in your righteous right hand. We pray for the loved ones that they know you personally and also passionately. We lift up to you all of our listeners' health issues, the flood victims in Louisiana, that through all this, the unsaved may find you, while granting miraculous aid to those who are called by your name. We lift up to your throne these recent prayer requests that we now hold in our hands. Bless tonight's study, and until you come again, we will honor and glorify you alone. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear. And Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless the name of the Lord. Well, there are so many news stories happening, from Hillary's bad health to continually added pestilences. But we can only speak on a few of those more important ones. And to me right now, it's still Russia and their now chummy relationship with Turkey, due to informing President Erdogan, as we've been reporting, of the attempted coup, which they do know was planned by the United States and NATO, and of course the CIA. But Turkey is a NATO country since 1952. I didn't realize it was that long. And yet, when President Erdogan was not aligning totally with Washington, Obama and NATO turned on him and tried to unsuccessfully oust him with a man named Fethullah Gulen, previously from Turkey, but now in the United States, ready to step in to take over.
So now what?
Well, if Turkey aligns with Russia, as it expectantly appears, Erdogan must leave the NATO alliance and join the new alliance of Russia, China, Iran, Syria. Remember, Russia really does need Turkey, especially for its airspace, because a rumor of a war is still brewing in the Ukraine on the border of Crimea. And now the United States and NATO are moving its nukes out of our military underground base in Turkey to Romania, which is next to Ukraine. Putin wants Erdogan to allow Russia to take over the U.S. base in Incirlik, pushing our airmen out entirely.
And the U.S. has a plan for this?
I would imagine so, no doubt. And I think it's similar to Iraq's invasion many moons ago. You see, Turkey has its own, but quietly kept, approximately 90 nuclear warheads for 50 years, which survived through the Cold War, an anarchy period, five coups, Saddam Hussein, even Iran. But now, all of a sudden, the United States must do something drastic before ISIS gets them. Get the picture?
Yeah, another physiological, psychological warfare gimmick.
That's right. To justify to the world an overthrow of Erdogan, who, by the way, was once considered a great leader and on the cover of Time magazine, but now being betrayed as a despot. You know, it's classic. And I'm thinking that the recent ISIS attacks to Turkey, like three in a week, could very well have been a U.S.-backed tactic to warn Turkey not to join with Russia, and certainly not let them have access to the Incirlik military base.
Yeah, I guess Trump was right when he said our government created ISIS.
Well, very close. Obama and Biden, in fact, most governments, are a puppet to the global elite who thrive on chaos. Many think tanks of Washington and mainstream media are already feeding this nuclear bunk to justify Turkey's takeover, like we did in Iraq, Egypt, Libya, and tried in Syria. United States, NATO wants Erdogan out because he didn't play perfect ball. But as in Syria, Russia is getting in the way.
Can we be a little more specific about Turkey not playing ball?
Well, you mean like as in buying arms from China?
Mm-hmm.
They did that for a better price and higher quality, I'm told. But that made NATO very mad because Turkey didn't buy from a NATO country. Other reasons that we'll never know, probably, and maybe he threatened to stop using the petrodollar, or maybe just being too friendly with Russia and its allies. Even though, of course, we can make deals with our enemies like Iran.
Okay for us, but not for Turkey.
And China's not happy with us, as we reported last week. And more talk is going around that Obama will try to remain at the White House.
Yeah, maybe Hillary's sickness will play a part in all that.
I'll say anything can happen.
Just come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Before we get into tonight's continuing teaching on Teshuvah, what about that rocket exploding in Israel?
Yep, it came from Gaza into the desert of southern Israel. It's amazing how they don't hit the more populated areas. But anyway, there were no Israeli injuries. The rocket landed between two distant houses. But still, the Israeli military then launched about 50 strikes against Hamas positions in the north of the Gaza Strip. And by the way, this makes the 14th rocket this year. But that is a major decrease from the last few years.
Yeah, I heard it killed 13 chickens and a goat. All right, then, for a little humor.
I know.
Let the animal activists have something to complain about. All right, then, you can send your in-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message 2440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are welcomed and appreciated, which automatically adds you to our mailing list for our monthly end-time newsletter updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and informative letters are archived for your learning pleasure. Reminder, the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets for worship with an always timely Bible message, especially in the fall harvest season.
Mm-hmm.
So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio on September 2nd. And we will also be in Menor at Lakeshore Assembly of God on September 22nd.
Thank you, dear. Last week, we started talking about the season of Teshuvah. Some people say Teshuvah. I think you're supposed to say it Teshuvah, but anyway. But the season of Teshuvah, meaning to do an about-face, getting closer to the Lord. And we encourage you to listen to last week's broadcast to catch up on shofarministries.net. But Teshuvah always precedes the still physically unfulfilled fall appointments of Jesus. Because just as he fulfilled his spring appointments, and we say this all the time, and he personally made with us in his word, at his first coming, there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that he will fulfill his last three appointments as well. And after all, James 5:7 does point to the grape harvest for his return. First calling us up to meet him in the air at the last trumpet rapture sound, and then, 7 years later, at the end of the tribulation, Revelation 19, when his bride, now called his wife, verse 7, accompanies him back to the earth. Also, in the fall, on Yom Kippur.
The Day of Atonement.
That's right.
And if all this is new to you, just go to our webpage where you'll find some simple, basic Hebraic roots teachings.
That's right. Well, Teshuvah starts on the next new moon this year of September 3rd at sundown. It's a yearly warning season to repent again before the resurrection.
Before it's too late.
That's right. I'm thinking this Teshuvah, which this year is during the month of September, or Elul, E-L-U-L, on God's calendar, could be a last warning for many reasons that we often talk about. Teshuvah lasts for 40 days. So it actually continues into the following month of Tishrei for 10 days until Yom Kippur, which on our Gregorian calendar this year falls on October 12th, ending at sundown. Each day of Elul was heralded in with the blowing of the shofar till Rosh Hashanah, which is a two-day festival, and then 100 shofar oat, and that's plural for shofar, are blown. Then comes a silence from all trumpets for the next 7 days, called the Days of Awe, or High Holy Days, which ends on Yom Kippur when the great shofar is blown.
And you know that that soon became an idiom for Yom Kippur.
That's right. And of course, we'll cover that more next month. But we saw last week in the book of Haggai how God makes very clear that it was Teshuvah by recording that it was on the first day of the sixth month.
And that is a classic example of why we need to know just a basic knowledge of our Hebraic roots.
I know. We should all know that the sixth month on the religious calendar is Elul. And every Elul begins an important season of repentance called Teshuvah in Hebrew. In fact, all throughout the Old Testament, God often lets you know about what month it is so we can understand what season they are in at the time of our reading.
It helps to comprehend why they were doing certain things.
It really does. Mm-hmm. I mean, like big time.
Yep.
Anyhow, we see how God chose this season in Haggai chapter 1 to not only rebuke the Hebrews for their neglect in not building God's temple, but even more than that, we see details about the condition of their hearts and reprimands them by saying, consider your ways. And it's not just repentance from sins committed, but sins of omission. How can we get closer to Him? And that should always be on our hearts. And of course, we know the only way really is through knowing His Word, for He is the Word. Besides Haggai, we see other examples, as in Ezekiel 8, where once again, God makes sure that we know that it's in the sixth month, which is, come on, you know it, Teshuvah. Well, we have Ezekiel being translated in the Spirit and shown Israel's idolatry in the temple and all manner of abominations, even amongst the elders, hiding in the dark, like God couldn't see them. And God says, I will now act in my fury. And in chapter 9, we see how the wicked are slain, but not the righteous, who had a seal of protection. This is a type of what will happen during the final judgment recorded in Revelation 7, where the sealed ones represent the 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember, they first get saved before the seals are opened, and they will never suffer harm. That's those group of people. Now, Ezekiel 8 and 9, I highly recommend because it's a great read for typology of the future. And another example is that we know from historians that the handwriting on the wall of Daniel chapter 5 was in the fall season when Babylon was conquered by the Medes and Persians. More than likely, during Teshuvah. Still another example is when Nehemiah received permission from the Persian king to return to the city of his fathers, and even though the temple was finally up, the city of Jerusalem was still in ruins, and its burned gates, which were burned from the fires from Babylon, was still a very big eyesore. So, we read in Nehemiah 6:15 that it was during Elul under huge trouble and opposition from their enemy, that the wall was finally finished. And now the wall's completion was even a judgment to the Israelis' enemies, as Nehemiah 6:16 states. It says, "For they," talking about the enemies, "perceived that this work was done by our God." Beautiful. Okay, now let's look at today, for we know that hurricane season is mostly during Teshuvah, as was 9/11 and the stock market crash of 2008. And by the way, again, economists are calling for another, a big one, collapse very soon. Are you thinking what I think? Yeah, during Teshuvah. Well, it's a big possibility. No doubts humankind has been pushing God's buttons, but we see another big gathering of interfaith religions, a slap in God's face. And they're meeting to pray together to the same God, they say, during Teshuvah. And it's in Jerusalem, by the way, of course, within months of its gay pride parade. My, oh, my. It was also in September in 1959, most people don't know this, that Vatican II began under Pope John Paul. And also next month, the occult arch of triumph to Zeus, unless canceled again, will finally be displayed in New York. And the list is very lengthy, people. Putting repentance and chastisement aside, think of Elul as the final month just before your wedding, because some year it will be. And you have an idea of what Elul is all about. Preparation. Perhaps with fasting for God's spiritual guidance and direction when contemplating what area of ministry you're best suited for. It could be for anything. And then on Yom Kippur, the last day of Teshuvah, God told them to fast for 24 hours, calling it an affliction of their souls in Leviticus 23:27. When Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was proclaiming repentance. It makes sense. It was probably the first day of Teshuvah, for as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went directly into the wilderness for 40 days, probably coinciding with Teshuvah, like I said. And of course, not to repent, but to prepare for his ministry that would begin on his 30th birthday, which from my collections of thought is 5 days after Teshuvah on the Feast of Tabernacles, which is Tishri 15. We talk about that a lot. Anyway, it was Jewish law that a man could not enter his ministry till the age of 30. And again, all this was set up by God. He is very exact and precise in everything he has set forth to happen. And some year, likely on man's birthday, called Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets, occurring on the 30th day during Teshuvah, our groom will call us up to our wedding, chastising the unbelievers left behind. It fits like a hand in a glove. Oh, and one more thing. The Hebrew letters for the month of Elul, Aleph, Lamad, Vav, and Lamad, or Lamed, is an acronym for the words Ani, Ladodi, Vidodi, Li, from Song of Songs 6:3, where it says, "I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine." And according to traditional Jewish thought, this is a month in which God's people can also find particular favor with him. The verse from the prophet Isaiah is often quoted. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him teshuvah to the Lord," return in your English, "and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." This is in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. You know, every day they, and some Orthodox still do, would blow the shofar during Teshuvah as a wake-up call to be alert. For someday, the resurrection will occur. Ephesians 5, 14 through 16 says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live. not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. These moments come from God. Are you seizing those opportunities? Of course, we all know that we need to repent often, not just once a year. But let's look at ourselves even more closely during Elul. Unless, of course, you can say, my life and my home are completely in order, and my relationships are exactly as God would have them. Really? Actually, we probably need more than 1 month just for correcting our errors of omission. I do believe we are that generation to see his return. So especially this year, how about we honor Teshuvah? Repent for not being in his word, like we should, thereby making a commitment to get closer to our groom. Remember, Teshuvah is always just before the fall feasts, when Jesus is expected to return. He said he would. I believe him. Do you? Let's get really passionate for Jesus. Or maybe you have never really made him Lord over your life, or even accepted his free gift of salvation. Oh, please don't wait any longer. And if I'm speaking to you, remember Christ died for you. He went through an agonizing hell for you, and right now he stands at the door of your heart and knocks, saying, whosoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He's knocking right now, but he won't crash the door down. It's your move. You can be the beneficiary of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And this is very important. If you even wonder whether you are just an in-name only Christian, talked about in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, who might only have a head knowledge of him and not a true heart conviction. You know, if you don't have any desire to be in his word, then you better start over. Get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal this seed that I'm giving you right now away, as the parable talks about. Repent of your individual sins. It's a type of deliverance. Anything that has a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He is the Messiah to anyone. Anyone. There is no sin too strong that he didn't die for. So if you want him, he's there for you. Remember, God sends no one to hell. He really doesn't. You decide yourself where your soul, that by the way never dies, will spend eternity. It really is your call. Please don't be foolish. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Yivarecha ka Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav v'leka v'yuneka. Yasei Adonai panav v'leka v'yisem v'ha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem that is, shall prosper and always. Psalm 122, verse 6. So, keep looking up. If he doesn't return before next week, tune me in. God bless.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.